Yeah. What's up, everybody? Every time I say everybody, I just want to bust out into a little bit of a flow. Everybody, everybody in the place to be. Open up your mind and let your soul. I'm just kidding. That started off rough, man. It started off rough. So anyway, hey, we're glad that you guys are here with us this morning at Motion Church. We're continuing our series called Doors. Before we jump into that, I want to just kind of, you guys have heard us talk about Easter a little bit. Easter is 2 weeks from today. And if you haven't been with us at an Easter at Motion or for Easter at Motion or whatever, however you say that and set that up, all you grammar Nazis, right? If you haven't been with us for Easter at Motion, we just celebrate, man, because it's a big deal. Like, to me, Easter is the Super Bowl of the church. It's the biggest day of the year. It's the reason that we're here. Like, we're celebrating. If we didn't celebrate the resurrection, we have no reason to get together. We have no reason to be happy. There is no reason for hope. So it's a big deal, and we treat it as such. And we want everybody to come, and we want everybody to bring your people. Like, this is what we do. This is what we do in church. We kind of like invite people. Like, we you know, flippantly, hey, man, we going to church. You should come to church with us. Right? I don't want you to invite people. I want you to bring people. Like, if you have to be a creepy taxi cab and go pick them up and bring them to church, do that. Like, get them here. Because here's the deal. Like, people will never be exposed to Jesus and the gospel if they're not in church. Like, unless you get the guy on the side of the street that's, like, yelling at them. Like, that's their exposure to the gospel. But if you get them here, we can set up dates for them to fall in love with Jesus. So that's what I want you guys to do for Easters. Easters, not Easter, Easters. I guess I shouldn't tell you where that came from, because that's funny. So anyway, we're continuing our series called Doors. And what we've talked about kind of up to this point, I always like to give the recap just in case you've missed any of it. We talked about how Jesus said he is the door. That was the first week. And then last week, I'm skipping a week, just kind of cruise through this. Last week, we talked about God opens doors for us to walk through. In fact, the word that we looked at, the Greek word is thura. Remember that? The tongue rolling? Thura, right? And so if you look at the Greek word thura, it actually means like an open door of opportunity. Like, God is an open door of opportunity, and he places open doors of opportunity in front of us. We just got to walk through them. Like, that choice is ours. It's our responsibility to do that. Because here's the deal. Like, God has given you everything you need to do what it is that you need to do. Like, God has equipped you. He's empowered you. He's created you with these specific gifts and talents and all of the things that you need, you've got. You just got to use them. So it's your choice as to whether or not you walk through the open door. So this week, we're going to look at what is called the antithesis of the open door. We're going to look at closed doors, right? Because if you look at the opposite of open, it would be right. How many of you guys remember taking the SAT in high school? Wow, all of you went to college, but nobody took the SAT. That's fantastic. How did you get in? I'm just curious, because, you know, they were asking for my SAT scores, and that's why I didn't get in. I'm just kidding. So when you take the SAT, when you're doing the English part of it, or whatever you would refer to that as, like, they give you the such and such is like this, as such and such is like this. I'm assuming it's analogies or something to that effect, right? Anonyms, analogies, synonyms. I don't know. It all makes sense in my head, right? And so we're going somewhere with this. Like, so open doors are like closed doors, as stupid is like smart, right? They're the opposite. It's the antithesis. Good. Glad we're all on the same page. And you guys made me look like a fool trying to explain all of that stuff. How many of you actually took the SAT? You can raise your hand in church. All right. Good, 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 good. I'm glad that we've got some participation from the crowd. So I just believe that God, in the same way that God opens doors, I'm just convinced that God closes doors as well. And I think that it can be just as powerful in shaping our lives and kind of setting the path and the course for our lives if we respond appropriately. Because I'll just be honest with you guys. When a door shuts in my life, I don't like it. Like, I get mad. I get frustrated. I want to kick the door down. And some of you really stubborn people, you know what that's like, right? And so we have to look, we kind of just have to take inventory, look at the whole situation, and see what's going on, see what's really happening when God closes doors. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at exactly what that means for our lives. We're going to look at kind of a catch, because some doors are closed, but not permanently closed. And then just like last week, we talked about some of the emotions that come along with open doors. We're also going to look at some of the emotions that come along with closed doors. So the first one is just, what exactly do closed doors mean in our lives? If you're taking notes, your point would be, it's closing time, right? Because, where's my drummer? Where you at, Mike? It was really funny. They were having, I'm not part of the band. I'm musically challenged, as most of you are. I heard you singing. I'm just kidding. I can only say that because I can't sing. And so they were having band practice the other day, and the drummer told a joke and gave his own little doo-doo-tsh. I'm like, man, that's not fair. I wish I could do that. I'm going to carry a drum set around so I can do that for myself. And so closed doors have just as much of an impact on our lives as open doors do. If we just look at it and figure out what it is that we can learn for it and how we need to alter course and what changes we need to make. It's kind of like we talked about this before, and you guys may be familiar with this. When something bad happens in our life, we usually respond with, why, God? Like, why? First, usually it's like, why me? Because we have this, you know, wham party, right? Pity parties. Man, I can throw a pity party like nobody's business. And you can too. Like, we throw pity parties. And so we ask God, we're like, why, God? You know, why am I going through this? Why is my life so hard? And then you've got the people who actually articulate that on Facebook and Twitter. They're like, ugh, my life sucks. That person, woo, love them in Jesus' name. Right? And so we have these responses to adversity, and it's like, why? But instead of asking why, we're better served to ask what? Like, what is it that I can learn from this? How can I grow through this circumstance? Because, man, we grow so much through adversity if we really take the time to do it instead of throwing pity parties. And the same thing is true. It kind of translates into closed doors. Like, when doors closes, instead of getting frustrated, instead of getting mad, instead of being, you know, just confused and bothered and irritated, maybe we can stop, look at the situation, and figure out how we need to change or how we need to grow or what different direction we should go. Did that rhyme? That did rhyme. That did rhyme. That was good. I have to remind you guys when the rhymes take place. So it's kind of like this. Like, maybe you're like me. Maybe you're one of the people that learned who you wanted to be by learning who you didn't want to be. Like, maybe you had a parent that was just not a great person, and you grew up your whole life deciding that you weren't going to be that person, right? Or maybe this was my situation. My parents got divorced when I was very young, maybe 4 years old. So even before I was saved, like before I knew Jesus and before I was trying to be a very good person, like, I always knew that I wanted to be married one time. That's it. Like, man, you know, I saw the effects that divorce had on me, and I didn't ever want to put my kids through that stuff. And so I learned who it is that I wanted to be by learning who it is that I didn't want to be. Right? I got an organ. There she is. All right, thanks, Morgan. Morgan plays the organ for me. It's fantastic. You can also do this with, maybe you learn what it is that you want to do with your life by learning what you don't want to do with your life. Like, maybe you got a job and you come to the conclusion that you don't want to do that for the rest of your life, right? And so, like, it's a learning and growing process. When one door closes, if we look at it right, we can see, okay, maybe that's not the direction I needed to go with my life. Maybe I needed to do this or head in this direction. So instead of just allowing it to kind of beat you down or get you off course, you got to keep on going, but you got to alter your path just a little bit, right? So there's just this really cool passage of scripture, and there's this dude named Paul. Everybody knows who Paul is, right? Paul wrote 2/3 of the books of the New Testament. Really incredible guy, like the way that God used him and the things that he did. Because this is what excites me about Paul. This is what makes me happy about knowing and understanding the story of Paul. If God can use Paul, God can use any one of us. Like, Paul was, he was bad. Like, bad. Paul was killing people. Paul was busting up in churches and capping folks before they had caps. Right? Like, Paul was, he was a persecutor of the church. Like, he was literally killing Christians kind of at the infancy of the Christian movement. And so Paul was a bad dude, and God changed Paul's life, transformed him, and started using him in the complete opposite way that he was going. So if Paul can be used by God, then I can be used by God. And that's very comforting for me, right? Because I know me, and you know you, and enough said, right? Right. Okay, good. You guys are, man, the feedback this morning is fantastic. In the microphone, not from... Anyway, so there's this really cool story about Paul and how he's kind of, this is after the transformation, and he's actually gone from killing preachers to preaching, which is just fantastic, right? And so there's this passage in Acts chapter 16, verses 4 through 8, and this is what it says. It says, now while they were passing through the cities, this is Paul and his entourage, they were passing through the cities, they were delivering the decrees which had been decided upon by the apostles and the elders who were in Jerusalem for them to observe. So kind of give you some of the backstory. Paul, his responsibility was preaching to people who weren't Jewish. They were called the Gentiles, and they were the ones that nobody else really wanted to preach to. And Paul was like, give me that. Like, that's what I want to do. So Paul was preaching to these people, but he had kind of specific directives from the council in Jerusalem, and all of this sounds really fantastic, right? And so he had specific kind of ordinance and directives and things that they should do and they shouldn't do, and he was preaching all of this to all of the people in the areas that he was passing through. All of that makes sense? Good. All right, good. So the churches were being strengthened in the faith and were increasing in number daily. Paul was killing it, right? He would be on the front of Christianity Today, Charisma Magazine, like, you know, what, right? Taking pictures like he was doing a really, that was funny. Good job. So this is where it gets kind of interesting. They pass through, and I'm going to butcher some of these city names, and if I do, and you know it, just kind of make everybody else think that I'm smart, right? They pass through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Isn't that weird? Isn't that interesting? Like, they were preaching to everybody everywhere they were going. They were kind of setting it up. The church was growing and being strengthened in faith, and everything was going good. And they started going through this one area, and they said they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And after they came to Mysia. That's the best I can do, man, right? After they came to the M place, they were trying to go into Bithynia. I'm going to act like I knew that one. They were trying to go into Bithynia. And this is, look at this. And the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And passing by the M word, they came down to Troas. Let's make sure that we get the important stuff there. So they were preaching, and they were trying to go to this one place, and it says that they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach there. And then they kind of altered course, and then it says, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them to go there. God closed a door for a really good opportunity in their lives. Now, here, this is what's interesting about closed doors. Like, sometimes closed doors are closed doors on really good things. And that can be hard to understand. That can be like, hold up, right? Now, if I were God, and this is what the conversation we have with ourselves, why would I close the door on a good thing? And the answer is really simple: to get you to a great thing, to get you from good to great. So sometimes God closes doors on good things. Sometimes God closes doors on the stupid things that we're trying to do or talk ourselves into. And that's a great place to be. Trust me, you want to be there. And so what happens in this situation is that they're preaching, and they want to go into this specific area and preach, and God forbids them. He doesn't allow it. He closes the door on that opportunity. And so what's really cool is this, is that God alters our course sometimes by closing doors. Or you get this, like, check. Have you ever had a check? Not like somebody wrote you a hot check, but like, check. Man, you're like, you're doing something, and it just doesn't feel right. Or maybe you just, man, something, I don't know what it is, and maybe this is just kind of by virtue of being in Christianity for a while, we use Christian lingo. But man, when you're doing something and you have a peace about it, like, it gives you so much more comfort that you're on the right path. But if you're doing something and you're like, I don't know, right? Have you ever felt that? You ever been there? And so I think that God does that, man. He gives us this check, or he shuts it down. Like it says that he uses the Holy Spirit to shut it down. And if we respond to that, then we can get from good to great. But if you keep on keeping on, then you miss out on the opportunities that you really are supposed to go to, right? Somebody say, right. So I have some personal experience with this. I like to tell personal embarrassing stories. I started a business when I was 20 years old. Now, that sounds really cool, right? It's not as fancy as you might think, you know, just selling my toes on, what is dinging? Somebody's dinging. Is that me dinging? Ding, can you turn that dumb thing off? Hey, let me kind of give you guys a word of advice. Don't text the pastor on Sunday morning. Seems like a good idea, right? Okay, so I started a business when I was 20 years old. And so this is kind of, again, making sense of closing doors and all of that stuff. And I wanted to get paid, let's be honest, right? Who else starts a business and just wants to get by? I wanted to make some money. Do you guys not like money? You guys not want to get paid? Man, you guys, you're hard to read this morning. I can't figure you out. So I wanted to make money. I wanted to get paid. I wanted to stack that paper. That's what I wanted to do. And it went really well. Like, it was kind of, it had days that it was good and weeks that it was good. And it had weeks that you want to just kill yourself. Like, I'm just being honest. Not really, but somewhat. I mean, there were weeks it was rough. And so kind of throughout, I did this for 6 or 7 years. And then we had a couple of huge setbacks. In fact, so we moved, we had a piece of property. We were moving our whole business to a new piece of property, had a nice shop on it. Everything was going to be awesome. The day before we move it to this piece of property, it burns to the ground. Everything to the ground. There's nothing left. This guy was over there. He's supposed to be cleaning it up. He cleaned it up, all right, and just set it on fire, burned it to the ground. So that happened, and we still ended up moving over to the property, and we kind of picked back up and started over again, and everything was great. And about 2 years later, we had really built it back up. Things were going really good, and it burned to the ground again. Two times, right? And so I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but it seems to me that just maybe that's not what God wanted me to do with my life, right? It's like, hey, I'm going to burn this thing down. I'm going to keep burning it down until you get it right. And so here's the deal. Had that thing taken off and been super successful and I was stacking paper and had a private jet, I probably wouldn't be here. If we're just being honest, right? Because money has a way of messing people's priorities up, and it has a way of getting us out of our calling sometimes. And so if that had gone just crazy and been successful, then I probably would have just kept on doing that, and I wouldn't be doing what it is that I'm supposed to be doing. But God closed a door so that I would get to the right door and walk through that door instead. He took me from good to great, and I consider this great. You guys are great. That should be pat yourself on the back. That's good. I didn't say clap. I said pat yourself on the back. Hey, you guys, no response, and you don't listen. I don't understand. So maybe that's just it. Maybe it didn't work as well as it was supposed to because it was a closed door. And if we look at things like that and we try to have the right perspective, then we can learn from it and grow from it. So that's the first one, just what these closed doors look like. The second part of it is this. This is kind of the catch. Sometimes I think doors are time-locked. Like time-locked doors. Have you ever seen that? Maybe you've read a little sign on a safe in a convenience store, and it says the safe is only open, time-locked vault or whatever. Not that I really pay attention to that kind of stuff. What time is it open? I got a meeting in 15 minutes. Anyway, so sometimes I think doors are time-locked. Sometimes I think that things are closed for now, but that doesn't mean that they're always going to be closed. There's a little bit of a, like I said, a catch to that. There are times when doors are closed, but they're not closed permanently. You're going to face situations in your life where it seems like this is the right thing to do, but it's just not working out at this time. Have you ever had something like that happen in your life? I know that I have. I know even starting the church and kind of getting everything going with Motion, like I wanted to do this like, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago, and Shelly was my time-locked door. She's like, no, we ain't, right? So it took some convincing, and now it's all good. So I think that a lot of times we know what the right thing to do is, but the timing is all wrong, and it's a time-locked door. How many of you know that even if you're doing the right thing, if you're doing it at the wrong time, it's still the wrong thing? Thanks, Morgan. I need to put you front and center, put a light on her. Yeah, make it good. And so I think that we just kind of have to understand that, man, timing is huge. Timing is so important. It has everything to do with timing. Even if you look at that verse that we looked at with Paul and his entourage and how they were forbidden to go into Asia, if you look kind of the rest of the story and you read the rest of the life of Paul, he went on two missionary trips, like two big missionary trips. On his second missionary trip, he went into Asia Minor, which is, a part of Asia. So he actually did get to go where it is that he wanted to go originally. He just didn't get to go then. So as a matter of fact, the book of Colossians and the book of Ephesians, like Ephesus and Colossae, were both part of Asia Minor. So huge important parts of Christianity, like these letters, these epistles that were written to these cities, were all out of that. He got to walk through that door, but not at the time that he wanted to. That's really good. It's not that Paul, that God didn't want Paul to preach to those people. It's just that sometimes, you've got some other things that you need to take care of first before you walk through a time-locked door. And we're up here. We'll make sense of all this and kind of bring it down to our level and how this applies to us. Look at this verse. We just read Acts chapter 16, verses, I think, 6 through 8 or 4 through 8 or something like that. This is verses 9 and 10. This is what it says. This is right after, hey, Paul, you can't go into Asia and preach. And it says the Holy Spirit forbid him, and the Spirit of Jesus stopped him. And then it says this, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately he sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So this is, let me make sense of all this. Paul wanted to go into Asia, but if you read just a verse or two later, it says that he had this vision, he saw this dream from God, that's not what he was supposed to do. Instead, he was supposed to go into another place, and then it concludes with, they concluded that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. He closed one door, but that closed door was really an opportunity for another door. It was an open door over here. And so, again, this is all about perspective. When you have a closed door in your life, you can sulk and you can moan and you can be bitter, or you can look around and see what else it is that you're supposed to do. You can find the open door that is in your life instead of trying to, you know, make a pity party out of the closed door or try to beat down the closed door or whatever your response to the closed door is. Like, stop. Look around, find the open doors, and walk through those instead. It's really all about perspective. One closed door just means that another door is opening up somewhere else. Or, this one's good. It could be. It just could be. And Christianity and Christian people, we don't like this. It could be that you need to stay where you are just a little bit longer. Because this is what we like to do. We like to be shooting stars. Right? We like to go from one thing and be the star, and when the flicker is gone, we go to the next thing so we can be the star. And church people are the worst. And we don't have this problem. Like, man, this is a young church. You guys, like, I don't know. I'm going to leave other churches alone. I'm going to stop that. But church folk, I've been in church a long time, okay? 15, 16, I don't know, a bunch of years. I can't math, Diana, problem, right? Been in church for a long time, and I'm just going to tell you what church people do. Church people, they come in hot, right? They come in, they are superstars, man. They come in, and they got it all together. They're the best leaders you've ever seen. They're going to serve their butts off. They love you, and then they leave. That's just how it goes, right? Shelly and I went to a conference in February, and it was so funny because we were talking to a bunch of other pastors and church leaders, and this guy was up, and he was kind of just dropping some knowledge, man. It was good. And this is what he said. He said, anybody that comes into the church and tells you that they love you and that they're going to be there forever, just have a funeral in your head because they're gone. Like, that's just the way it goes. That's the character of a lot of church. How did I get on this? Wow. It could be. When a door closes, it could be that you need to stay where you are just a little bit longer. It could be that you've got some growing to do before that door will open up for you. Thank you, ma'am. It's one of those things that we don't like. We don't like it when a door closes and that means that there's work for us to do or there's something in our life that needs to change. Maybe you need to grow where you are so you'll be ready for where it is that you're trying to go. Thank you. I don't know who did that, but you bad. It may be that you need to get your attitude in check and be happy where you're at. Because here's the deal. This is as true as anything you'll ever hear for the rest of your life. Like it or leave it or love it or whatever. Love it or shove it. Whatever. I stole that off of Mike and Mike. That's not original, right? Here's the deal. If you're not happy where you're at, you're not going to be happy where you're going. If you can't find contentment where you are, you're never going to be content. If you can't muster up some joy, because here's the deal, your circumstances aren't the source of your joy. Jesus is the source of your joy. And if you can't find joy where you are, you're not going to find joy where you're going. Boom! Yeah, dude, this is more, put her on the stage, man. Let's go. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that to you, Morgan, unless you want to. And then we'd break out. I'm just kidding. We can learn a thing or two about contentment. We can learn a thing or two about appreciation and being happy where you are. Because, man, this is what I'm a firm believer in this. Like, God gives us opportunities based on our appreciation of the opportunity that we have. Like, God opens more doors as we appreciate where we are in our lives right now. Like, we use this language like God is our Father, right? That's not foreign to anybody. You can say, uh-huh, okay. So God is our Father, and any good father loves it when their kids appreciate what he does for them. If my kids are not appreciative, you know what I want to do? I can't tell you what I want to do. You call CPS. But when my kids are appreciative, man, I want to do anything and everything for them. And I'm just stupid with it. I'll go over the top, man. I just love to do things for my kids when they're appreciative of what I'm doing for them. But if we're not appreciative, I don't want to do anything for my kids. And I can't imagine that God would be much different than that. I mean, it's pretty cool to think that I'm kind of like God, you know? Or God, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Here's some phrases that might help you understand this whole time-locked door thing. Do you know that delay is not denial? You can think about that for a minute. Delay is not necessarily denial. Just because it's not happening right now doesn't mean that it's never going to happen. Do you know that not now doesn't mean not ever? And so that's something, man, if you just hold on to that, maybe you're facing a closed door, but it feels like the right thing. And you'll probably have that experience in your life. Hold on to that, that delay is not denial. Not now does not mean not ever, if you need to kind of, you know, make it your own, ever, right? So those are some ideas about these time-locked doors. The last thing we're going to talk about are the emotions that come along with closed doors. And thirst is one of them, right? Thirst is not an emotion. I guess it could be, technically, if you want to get serious about it, right? So like we looked at last week, there are emotions that come along with open doors. How many know when new opportunities are presented, sometimes you're anxious, sometimes you're frightened, sometimes you're scared, you're trepidatious. Some of these feelings, like, because we're the unknown brings about uncertainty, and uncertainty brings about fear and all of those things. And just like there are emotions that go along with open doors, there are emotions that go along with closed doors, kind of like we've already alluded to a few. Frustration, right? When an opportunity seems like it's working out for you, and then you're like, oh, man, right? Maybe impatience. Maybe you're like me. Things can never happen fast enough. Am I the only one that struggles with that? Yeah, maybe when doors close, man, you just get impatient. And this is what's dangerous about that, is that you start making your own way instead of trusting in God's way. And that's just a bad place to be. Maybe you have a lot of doubt when a door closes. Like, and dude, this one is completely understandable. These are very natural responses to closed doors. When a door closes and you thought you were doing the right thing, you're like, wow. Like, I thought I was doing the right thing and the door closed. I mean, do I even know what I'm supposed to do with my life? You start to have these doubts, right? Good. Hey, you guys actually responded. But what about confusion? Like, man, again, kind of, maybe it makes sense to tie this in with doubt, but you thought you were doing the right thing again, and then that's not the right thing. If that's not the right thing, I don't know what the right thing is. You're just confused about the whole situation. There are a lot of emotions that can kind of take over us if we're not careful when doors close. But what we have to do is we have to try to remember to keep these things in perspective. When we're faced with a closed door, then we just have to remember that we see in part, God sees in whole. Like, you get just a snippet of what's going on. God knows everything that's going on. Here's the deal. This is what we'll kind of land on this. If we can trust that God is in control and God is good and God is awesome when he opens doors for our life, because we do that, right? Like, oh, man, God gave me this opportunity to do this, and God is so good, and you put it on Facebook, and you're like, exclamation points, and prayer, and thumbs up, emojis, right? But if we can trust that God is good, and God is in control, and God is awesome when he opens doors, then we also need to trust that God is good, and God is in control, and God is awesome when he closes doors. It's the same God, same response from us, or it should be the same response for us. I saw this quote the other day that was so fitting. It says, don't trust God only when he opens doors. You've got to trust God when he closes doors too. And that's harder to do, isn't it? It's easy. Like, your faith is built up when you have this open door in front of you. Like, oh, man, this situation worked out. Look what God did in my life. And, man, I trust him even more. But when he closes doors, then we've got to trust him just the same. And I think this is what's fascinating about this. Man, if we got the full picture, and what's really cool is, I guess you have the privilege of hindsight. A lot of times you can look back and see how God worked things out. But there's always a method to the madness. Like, everything that seems chaotic, or every time that things don't make sense in your head, like, God is at work, and there's a method to his madness, because it feels like madness sometimes, doesn't it? Like, our brackets feel like madness. How many of you, how many ladies, I'm just out of curiosity, how many ladies have a bracket for the tournament? How many dudes have brackets for the tournament? Stick your hands up if you got a bracket for the tournament. Jeez, I am just disappointed in our church. I thought we were better than that. Anyway, that was the whole madness thing. March Madness, basketball, NCAA basketball tournament's crazy. I mean, really crazy. You have 32 games in 24 hours. It's like, oh. Nobody got any work done on Thursday. Don't act like you did. So there's this method to the madness. We have to remember that we see in part, God sees in full. We have a view of what's right in front of us. God has a God's eye view. Like, he sees everything. Have you guys ever been in an airplane? Like, things look so different when you're in an airplane and you look down and you see kind of everything that's going on. Have you guys ever looked at, do you like looking at maps? I love looking at maps. I am such a nerd. I love reading dictionaries and looking at maps. I don't know how I ever picked up a chick. Thank you, John. That was hilarious. Anyway, so I love looking at maps. And you know what's crazy? Like, if you're driving down Loop 281, most of the time you feel like you're kind of just driving straight. But if you look at the map, it's literally a loop. It just, you know, this big curve. Like, we don't see that because we're seeing what's right in front of us. But if you take the overview, you kind of see everything that's going on, and you see this course that you're on. And so God is just like that. God gets the full picture. He knows everything that's going on. We just see what's right in front of us. So we just have to trust that he's good, trust that he's okay, trust that he's going to take care of us. When the door closes, that's going to be all right, because he's working things out on your behalf. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 9 says this. This helps. And it's really cool because it kind of, again, mentions the perspective. It says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Just when you thought you were smart, right? Like, you're way, 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 way down here. And God is way, 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 way up here. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Trust that he's okay. Trust that he's good. Trust that it's going to work out. Trust that he's got your best interest at heart. Regardless of the emotion, you just got to remember that God is good, and he's going to take care of you. Don't just trust him when he opens doors. Trust him when he closes doors as well. That's what's really cool. There's this close that we're going to wrap up with this. Romans chapter 8 is so powerful, man. Like, just, you know, from top to bottom, if you read the whole thing, it's just, there's so much in there that can help you kind of get through, you know, whatever situation you face. But at the end, there's a couple of verses that we're going to look at, especially with regard to some of these emotions that we may have. Like, because here's the deal. Whenever going back to my business and my experience, and I was in Shreveport. Somebody called me and said, "Hey, your place is burning to the ground. You are helpless. There is nothing that you can do about that." So I have 45 or 50 minutes that I'm driving. I don't know what's going to happen when I get, you know, when they say that there's a fire, I'm hoping that somebody's roasting marshmallows and it's a campfire, right? And I get back, I mean, literally for miles, I can see the smoke as I'm driving into where it is. And so I get there, and it's burning to the ground. And there's nothing I can do about it. I mean, I could run out there like an idiot and try to put it out with a water hose, but that just would have burned me up too, right? And so what's crazy about that is it would have been really, really easy to just get mad at God. Be like, "God, man, I've been working so hard at this, and I've been trying every single day to make this thing grow and to make this thing work, and you burn it to the ground?" And you could probably say the same thing about something in your life. Or, instead of asking why, we can ask what. Instead of throwing ourselves a pity party about a closed door, we can look for an open door and walk through that. I want to read these verses. I just want to read them over you. Like, I think there's something incredibly powerful about God's word, and I want you guys to just try to take this in to who it is that you are, the way that you think, and ultimately the way that you act. Close your eyes and just listen to this, and hopefully we can apply it to our lives. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, it says this. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This morning, I just want to pray for us collectively, that if there's anybody in the room that's maybe you're facing a closed door, maybe you've got some frustrations, maybe you've got some doubts, I just want you to be reminded of that. That this God who did not spare his own son, he won't spare anything to protect you, to preserve you, to make you his own. There's nothing in this world that can separate you from his love. There's not a height and there's not a depth. There's not a thing happening now or a thing that's going to happen in the future. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. So when you're faced with these situations and you have these doubts and you have these frustrations and you're not sure where you're supposed to go with your life, even when you seem lost, even when everything seems out of control, you are loved. Father, we are so thankful for your love. God, we're so thankful for a love that is so undeserved, that we could never pay back. There is nothing in this world that we could ever do to deserve your love, but you give it anyway. And for that, God, we're thankful. God, I pray that anybody in the room this morning, God, maybe that is facing some situations where they can't make sense of anything, maybe they're confused, maybe they've got some doubt, and they're not sure what it is that they're supposed to do with their life. God, I pray that before we get to the nuts and the bolts of what it is that you're supposed to do, that they would remember that they belong to you, that you love them, that you've got a plan for their life, and that you're on their side, that you're for them, and nothing can stand against that. I pray, God, that you would help them to see that closed doors, God, aren't necessarily a bad thing, that sometimes, God, you use those to alter the course that we're on, to get us where it is that we need to be, rather than where it is that we think that we need to be. Jesus, I pray that you help us to trust you not only when things are good, not only when you're putting opportunities in front of us, but that we'll also trust you when things are bad, that we'll trust you when our circumstances aren't favorable, that we'll trust you when things don't work out like we think they should work out, because we remember that your ways are higher than our ways and your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We are so thankful for everything you do for us. We love you so much. God, thank you for this church. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.